haven't been able to sleep for a week.
Phil's Osophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
Nope, it is time for Too Wretched for Radio. If you recall, last week we were making our way through the top 20 influential Christians that you should follow on the Twittersphere or something like that, courtesy of Crosswalk. Well, we only made it through 10. You know what that means, don't you? We're going to keep counting them down. The higher the number, the more ridiculous the person. Phil, are you ready to go? We're at number 11, and I think we might be getting into some really annoying names. All right, here we go. The number 11 Christian that we're supposed to follow on social media, Jen Hatmaker. Go.
Yeah, I mean, she's a real disappointment. I think she comes out of Ferdick's Church, isn't that right?
Can any good thing come out of Ferdick's Church? Well, maybe we just answered the question. Yeah, yes, I'm going to say yes.
Not any good thing. She has sort of undertaken a campaign in the past year to make evangelical Christianity as politically correct as possible. And so she's scolding the rest of us for not accepting gay marriage and, embracing LGBTQ, WXYZ.
That was the thing that got her in hot water. Okay, here's what it says on crosswalk.com. Number 11, Jen Hatmaker. Jen is quite possibly the most transparent Christian voice in social media. Can I just stop myself right there? I don't think that I want my pastor, not that she is, being as transparent as this particular trend. What is it about this whole transparent movement that it's like, yeah, I get it because we're sinners, but at the same time, you're supposed to be a pastor and this blopping everything out on the table.
Yeah.
Why does it bug me?
Yeah, and it should. There is a kind of transparency that's fine and good. We talked a couple of weeks ago about R.C. Sproul and how, you know, what you hear on the radio is him. He was a very honest and transparent person, honest about his own and very self-effacing and all that. The postmodern notion of transparency is different and not quite so noble.
Our lives are messy, Phil. They're just, you know, we all struggle, and things can just be so hard, and they're messy.
Right, and once you start to glory in that messiness and celebrate it, and think that somehow the more messy your life is, the better qualified you are to help other people, then you've overstepped the boundaries. And
you're going to want to stop me on this part of the description. In a generation that's tired of being preached to, she's funny.
Yeah. I don't think she's that funny, frankly. And in fact, her lashback at critics who didn't follow her, you know, wholeheartedly into her endorsement of the gay lifestyle and all, the way she hit back at people who tried to bring some kind of biblical light to that issue was anything but funny.
Yeah, it if I recall, it was. Suddenly some fists got put up. Back to the description. God is funny. And people like Jen remind us that sometimes being joyful really doesn't mean being... Let me try to read it again. God is funny, and people like Jen remind us that sometimes being joyful really does mean busting up a bit in laughter. There, I got it out.
Yeah, that's
there
offensive to me. I mean, I don't see what's funny about God in the first place. I don't see any hint of that in Scripture. There are texts that say, you know, the Lord laughs. For example,
yeah, at us.
Yeah. For example, Psalm 2, where the Lord has them in derision, and it's talking about laughter at the wicked in the folly of their sin. It's a judgmental laugh. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. And it just seems to me to be sinfully superficial and a bit, sacrilegious to describe God that way, to say that he's funny. What does that even mean, he's funny?
Did he invent a sense of humor?
Well, sure he did, but that doesn't mean that he's funny. He's not to be the object of our laughter. There's just nothing in Scripture that tells us that God himself is an appropriate subject for laughter, humor, mockery, sarcasm, or any of those things.
So God isn't sitting in heaven telling one-liners. Look, or saying
I can't think
a false teacher walked into a bar.
I can't think of a decent theologian or godly church leader in all of church history who ever would have said God is funny. You know, he's not aiming to be funny. God is holy.
Yeah, that's the Isaiah 6. The angels didn't sing funny, funny, funny. It was holy, holy, holy. See, this is this whole focusing on the imminence of God, and it's kind of a shame because these types of characters can wreck it. Not that we should ever think that God is funny, but we're so tired of seeing these people, and he's your buddy, he's your pal, and I love the way you hold me. Is that song still stuck in your head by any chance?
Sadly, yes. please don't sing it again.
Joey reminded me. I think Sean Connery actually sang that song. Don't know if you realize that. Joey, where's Sean Connery singing? Is that Sean Connery worship? Sean Connery worship 2? We've got 2 bits on Sean Connery? Ay, ay, ay. Joey, if you'd find that for me and drop it in my folder, we'll get it restuck in your head. Sean Connery style.
Yeah, Joey, do me a favor, Joey, and wait till I'm gone to give it to him, okay?
He doesn't want to hear it either, and he was Sean Connery. This focusing on the God it just holds and hugs and versus any transcendence about God. So first of all, it's a bad characterization of the imminence of God, that he is nearer than a brother.
Right.
He's not the snuggle bear.
Yeah, right. He is nearer than a brother. But, you know, when you read Scripture and notice that any time anybody first encounters God face to face and
they
sees
don't say,
his holiness,
he's a crack up.
No, they fear. It's a frightening thing. In fact, back to Sproul, he has a great section on that in his book on the holiness of God and how the holiness of God, when you first begin to understand it, can only inspire fear.
Now, Phil, I do hate to interrupt the wonderful progress that we're making in our countdown list, but you know how things are with paying bills. We now have a sponsor, so we pause now for this commercial break.
He's back, singing your favorite worship hits.
My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
That's right, Sean Connery is back with an album full of worship songs for the whole family.
We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Yes. Okay, hold on. Can I? Well, now I feel kind of bad. You know that song, Yes, Lord? Yeah, we interrupt this commercial. You know that song, Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord?
I don't know it.
Oh, okay. Very popular. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I am pressed beyond. It quotes a good section of Scripture, but then it gets into a little bit of a repetition. Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, Yes, Yes, Lord. Daryl Evans, who wrote that song, is a listener of this program.
Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Now, Mr. Connery is still not a Christian, but maybe if you keep buying his albums, he'll become one.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
So hold your loved ones tight and sing together with Sean Connery Worship.
Lord, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Yes, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh.
Pick up your copy at Lifeway Bookstores. Let's get to number 12 on the... Wow, we're not making time at all. Number 12 of the Christians that you're supposed to be following. Tim Keller, go.
You know, Tim Keller has written some helpful things, and I think I do. I don't follow him on Twitter, but a lot of people retweet him all the time, so I see his Twitter feed. And it's a mixed bag, frankly. He famously tweeted a couple of weeks ago a line that said, "You are what you love." And the answers he got to that were kind of hilarious, because people said things like, you know, I love my, you know, I don't know. What,
tennis racket.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever they loved. And there was a string of them, and they were funny. And I wondered if how Tim Keller himself responded to what was, seemed to me, a fairly thoughtless tweet on his part. But he didn't respond to any of those. He didn't interact with it. And, you know, for that reason, I...
Where your treasure is, there your heart is? Is that... I'm just trying here because you know how I am that way.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as you are what you love, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't there a controversy about him, though, a couple of years ago? And it had something to do, I thought, with the gospel and just how we framed sin. And there's a... And again, it was right, but it was just kind of position funny because rather than saying sin is law breaking, sin is a violation of God's standard, instead it was all sin is it's like having misplaced affections. Yeah, right, but that doesn't really capture the offense part of it. Of course, sin is idolatry. But to put it in those terms and make that kind of the preeminent description, I think waters down what sin is. Do you recall that too?
Sort of, yeah. And also, you know, there's his participation with the BioLogos, the group that wants to attack the opening chapters of Genesis. Those kinds of things make me uneasy about him. And I know he's very popular, and he does occasionally say things that are insightful, but it seems to me that he has almost a pathological fear of saying anything that is going to sound politically incorrect or might challenge.
Yeah,
you know.
I think part of his context has perhaps contributed to that. When you're in New York City,
yeah,
being mindful of wow, what you're surrounded with has perhaps caused.
Yeah, no
that.
Question about it. But the effect of it is to make some of the things he says confusing and vague, and I'm just not into confusing and vague, as you know. So
I've heard.
Yeah.
Number 13, then there was that, Candace.
There was that famous incident where for the offertory or the, I think it was just before they had the communion service, he had some ballet dancers do a kind of weird thing at his church. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was a bit of a controversy. That one, here's what some people don't know. In fact, it's kind of interesting in this article at Crosswalk, which is, well, now it's a few weeks old, but I happen to know that Tim Keller isn't actually the pastor there anymore. He kind of stepped aside. He announced that a number of months ago. So he's not really the senior pastor there in the day-to-day operations of the church. He's kind of doing, he's associated with, but he's not actually the pastor there anymore. Number 13, Candace Cameron Bure.
I only know her because my wife watches a lot of Hallmark movies, and she's in a lot of them, and they all have the same plot. And
Phil, you just made my head want to crack open.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what we sat through? Like two quarters. Like we were flipping by the channels, and it was. Does Hallmark just play Christmas movies all year round?
I think they have a channel that does that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're flipping, and it's like it was like this Hallmark movie, and I think I said something kind of caustic about it, and Susan said, "Well, let's just watch it, and let's just see what's on the channel," and so we watched it for a few moments, and it was basically so predictable, and then we were flipping by another time, and it was the exact same movie. But everybody was just a slightly different actor with different clothes on.
Yeah, they recycle the plots a lot. And in fact, I sort of play this game with Darlene. She's often watching it while I'm doing things in the background. And so I catch little snippets of the dialogue in the movie. And I can tell within the first 5 minutes of the movie who's going to end up with whom and who's going to be the threat to this.
This is going to – we're going to learn what kind of a husband you are. So now the question is – how many cracks do you make about it with Darlene? Hmm? How many?
Countless. Countless. I am I am ruthless and relentless, and she would tell you that. Yeah. If she really loved...
So you don't just take it like a man and watch the Hallmark Channel,
not
huh?
at all. Not at all, and I'm not silent. But, you know, if Darlene truly loved sarcasm, she would do nothing nonstop except watch Hallmark movies and listen to me override the soundtrack, because it's pretty hard to keep it from spilling forth. That said, I don't know enough about Candace Cameron Bure, but I wouldn't, I'm sure she's a nice woman and all of that. I wouldn't say she's one of 20 Christians, important Christians that you must have in your Twitter feed. I'm not sure the purpose of this list.
Yeah, you keep coming back, because I've met Candace. I certainly haven't followed her career. She's a nice lady. That's just very pleasant individual. But you're right. If you go back to this list, the purpose of this list is these are people you need to follow on social media. And I think you and I have a tendency to go, because they will teach me something more about Jesus. They will teach me theology. They'll say something in a pithy and powerful way. And I'm not sure that all of these folks meet that criteria. Number 14, Levi Lusco. Do you know who this tattooed pastor is?
Yeah. In fact, one of the years that it may have been the year that you were there at the Reformation Montana conference, if I recall correctly, Chris Roseborough did one of his infamous sermon analyses of one of Levi Lusco's sermons. And of course, Levi Lusco is from Montana, so he was a local guy who
Yep. He's in Utah and Montana.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You mean,
you know, if I recall
Chris
correctly,
Roseborough didn't from like the, an evangelical preacher. What?
Well, I don't know how evangelical he is. It's more the typical sort of the standard style hipster pastor who just wants to connect with the culture and exegete the culture. And I'm not sure there's much biblical content to his stuff. But if I recall correctly from this list, when I read it, the drawing point on Levi Lusco that the person who made this list said was something about his tattoos. He's got his arms full of tattoos, and I'm not sure.
Okay, well, you know what? I think the same thing is true with this one, too. That's like his claim to fame. He's got a T-shirt on, so you can see his bare arms. He's the pastor of Fresh Life Church in Utah and Montana. There's something about a pastor that has two arms full of tattoos that's intriguing and inspiring at the same time in a very
real
way.
So apparently his two arms full of tattoos is what is intriguing and inspiring enough to make him a must follow on Twitter. Okay. That's not the criteria I use to decide who or whom I'm going to follow on Twitter. But do you think if I got my arms tattooed, I'd have a bigger following?
I think if you got your arms tattooed, the world would stop spinning on its axis and the entire universe might implode. Something like that, but I could be wrong about that. Number 15, who tweeted, "Turn that frown upside down"?
Joel Osteen. Gotta be.
Let's move on to number 16, Sadie Robinson from Duck Dynasty. Number 17 of the people that you're supposed to be following. Hey, John Piper. John Piper made the list of top 20. Do you think we should be following him?
Well, he's the only guy on this list that I actually do follow on Twitter. He doesn't seem to tweet that often these days, but there you go. I mean, obviously, I don't agree
with... Who's Shauna Nyquist? Nyquist? She's number 18. God wants to connect with us, and he created each one of us so uniquely. It makes sense, then, that we would connect with him in all sorts of unique ways, and that's as our lives, our ways of experiencing faith would change, too.
That's a name I don't know anything about this woman, so I really don't know.
I know she's got bad grammar. It's what she's got. Oh, here's one, number 19, Christine Kane. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, she might qualify. I think I said earlier that, who was it? I said Andy Stanley irritates me more than anybody else on this list. She'd be a very close second.
Yeah, I find her, can you call it preaching? Just very, grating.
Yeah, it's a stream of consciousness superficiality blended with this notion that God speaks to her directly and she's got very important things to tell us, and they're all things that God told her in her head. Not anything you'll find in Scripture, but stuff that the Lord has told her. And I just weary of that kind of thing. And the reason she's such an irritant to me is because she's been given a national platform by people who should know better. I think she's spoken at least 3 years in a row at the Passion Conference.
Passion Conference, right.
And
here's a sample of her tweets. Don't forget to remember, if you can see it, it isn't faith. Ooh.
Okay.
Nothing? Well, actually, yes, it can be faith, because people saw Jesus and had faith in him, but okay, I get what she's saying.
Yeah, she may be referring
say.
There, though, to the verse in Hebrews 11 that says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence
sure.
of things not seen. And right. the theme of Hebrews 11
sure.
is that these people hoped for things they could not see. They trusted in things they could not see. So there's some legitimacy in that. But again, you know,
yeah,
if I was going to...
But the context, but see, but Phil, I know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
It's not...
No,
believing
it's not.
In Jesus.
And she's taken
it's
that...
It's good things to come.
Right. She's taken this truth out of context, divorced it from Scripture. If I were going to underscore the fact that faith is the evidence of things not seen, I would actually quote that text from Hebrews 11 and put it in its context. She takes it out of its context and applies it to things it doesn't apply for. It doesn't apply to it. This doesn't mean... that anything you hope for but can't see, if you trust in it or claim it or speak a positive confession about it, that's faith. That's not genuine faith. It's only faith if God has promised something, and that's what you trust.
Phil, I'm going to tell you who number 20 is. Can you guess who number 20 is?
Sean Connery? Is he back?
Wasn't it?
Brian Houston.
Yes,
is
right.
Who it is.
Right.
Number 20 is Brian Houston.
Yeah, he's the head Hillsong guy. And, you know, I really don't have much good to say at all about Hillsong, other than maybe the most positive thing I could say is some of the tunes they've produced are kind of catchy.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
That was a good Hillsong song.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But
that was before everybody knew what Hillsong was.
Right, right.
Darlene Check, who, by the way, I think she's visited the Pope a couple of times. See, what I don't understand about Brian Houston, once in a while on TV I'll flip by, and there he is growling on the stage. I don't understand why he's so popular. I don't get it.
That's true of a lot of people on this list. I don't get it, but it just shows that, you know, my tastes aren't necessarily in line with what's currently popular. And that's what this list is actually giving. These are not important Christians that you need to follow on Twitter. These are people who have attained a level of popularity that makes people think they're cool because so many people talk about them and like them. And if you want to get on board with what's trending, here's who you need to follow. This is a list of trending names. That's all it is.
Okay, Phil, you've got my promise on this. If, and this is a big if by any chance next year you show up on this list, I promise to get after your church to implement church discipline.
Phil's Osophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?